Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. Welcome to a Tuesday, Faith Radio Mornings. I'm, again, Dick Whitworth, along with Logan Roush, our board operator, Paul Perot, who is in the newsroom, and a special thanks to Rachel Sutton, who helps make this program possible each and every weekday. So grateful for the team of players, so to speak, of who make Faith Radio keep going and growing, including you. And thank you today for your prayers and your generous support of this ministry. Believe me, we never take you for granted. Your kindness has been a huge blessing to us, as well as God's provision. And I know you've heard probably my spots talking about how we ended the fiscal year, June 30th, in the black. That wouldn't have happened, again, without your kindness and generosity. Logan, how are you on this fine Tuesday morning?
I am doing so very wonderful, Dick.
Oh, did you do you know Carson Wentz? Not personally, I assume.
We're best friends. No, yeah. I don't, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's a North Dakota native, as you know, former North Dakota State University football player. He is now a married man. He got married over the weekend. He tweeted about his wedding to Madison Oberg this past weekend, and the two got married. They visit North Dakota quite often. And he still gives back to his home state, but certainly has gone on to some exciting things, including holy matrimony.
Well, I can only hope to be so lucky, but first I have to try and talk to a girl. Is that how you do that sort of thing?
It starts there.
Okay.
Well, we'll have some tips for Logan a little later on. Coming up in just a few moments, I'm excited today of all days to have Rob Bluey. He is the editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. We're going to be talking about all things contemporary, current, and controversial, and we'll be doing that when we come back on Faith Radio Mornings. Of course, that's the walk-up music for our good friend Rob Bluey, editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. He is a regular guest on Faith Radio Mornings and also on with Bill Arnold in the afternoon. And today I think he's doing double duty. Rob, welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth.
Hey, Dick. It's good to be with you this morning.
Well, we appreciate you and your kindness to join us on these very special occasions and as a regular guest commentator. Boy, President Trump kind of made a mess, to say the least, in with his meeting of Putin. How do you see it?
Well, all we saw was what, what the public saw through the press conference, so we can only hope that things perhaps went better behind closed doors in the one-on-one meeting and then the working lunch that he had with members of his cabinet. But you're absolutely correct that I think there were several moments during the press conference where President Trump probably had an opportunity to stand firmly up for the United States, and Vladimir Putin was left unchallenged. And I know that that creates a difficult situation. This is a man that the president is really trying to forge a relationship with, because I think he really sees him as someone who can help change the course of history here. We have a lot of challenging global issues, from Syria to Iran to North Korea, and obviously Russia plays a big role in many of them. So so whether it's the crisis in Ukraine, which we at the Daily Signal have paid very close attention to, we actually have a foreign correspondent based in Kyiv. You're absolutely right, Dick. I think we all would have liked to have seen a more forceful stand against Russia yesterday.
Well, it seemed to me that, you know, the past is the past was one part of his explanation. And he was as concerned or more concerned, at least in the public press response, that, you know, they didn't have anything on me. If they did, they would have shared that. And he is getting literally bipartisan criticism. I want you to react to this. This is Ben Sasse. He's a Republican senator from Nebraska.
Vladimir Putin is leaving Helsinki with an undeserved legitimacy. The United States took a loss today when we backed away from our longstanding commitment to principled American leadership, and frankly, we walked away from basic reality.
Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, Well, first of all, Senator Ben Sasse has been somebody who is not afraid to stand up to this president and has on other occasions been critical of his actions. So I was not personally surprised to see the senator come out with that Senate floor speech in which he criticized him. In terms of the dynamics, I think he's absolutely correct. This was not the best showing on the part of the United States. My hope is, and in talking to some of the foreign policy experts at the Heritage Foundation, I think that there were things that probably happened behind closed doors which we don't know about. So we are evaluating the press conference here, and we're not necessarily aware of the full picture of what went on. I think the other important thing, Dick, is the president did not change U.S. policy toward Russia in this press conference. You'll recall that during the North Korea summit, he actually did change policy. He talked about stopping to some of the war gaming exercises that would be taking place. There was no change in policy by the United States toward Russia, and the United States policy toward Russia is very strong. So I think if there's anything the American people can take from this is, yes, we might not have liked the president's body language or some of the things he said, but the policy against Russia remains the same.
Have you any insight as to what the intelligence community is feeling today because of his waffling answer on their understanding and actually the reality of Russians hacking into the DNC computers and trying to affect, although they had no success, but trying to hack into the election process? Well, if you're a member of the intelligence committee or community, what are you thinking or feeling today?
I think it's important for your listeners to, again, be reminded that there is overwhelming evidence that the Russians did attempt this hacking and cyber warfare that that we've been hearing about for the past nearly 2 years now. The president says that he addressed that with Vladimir Putin, and we can only take him at his word on
sure.
that. You're a member of the intelligence community. I think you probably are a little dumbfounded that Putin was able to stand there and essentially lie to the press unchallenged. But I also think that the important thing is the intelligence community did not waste any time yesterday to set the record straight. I know that Richard Burr, who's the senator from North Carolina and chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, put out a very strong statement, as did Dan Coats, who's the director of National Intelligence, who made clear again that Russia is guilty of this. We just saw on Friday the Mueller investigation indicting 12 top Russians. So I don't think there's any doubt that the evidence is there. And it's not just the Russians who, by the way, are trying to hack. I mean, we have many foreign nations that would like U.S. intelligence and would like to disrupt our elections, I'm sure. I think the Russians perhaps are the most glaring example. And, of course, now we're dealing on a daily basis with the Mueller probe into exactly what happened.
There was also an arrest of a Russian woman. She was charged with spying in the U.S. out. She's not connected to the Mueller investigation, but apparently what she is charged with is that to exploit personal connections with U.S. persons having influence in American politics. Do you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just remarkable to see, you know, in this day and age, what's taking place. And yes, there are very wealthy and powerful foreign interests that would like no better than to, in many ways, disrupt our political system, disrupt our business community, to seek an advantage. They have their own agenda, and they will pursue it at any cost. And I think that that's exactly what we're seeing here. With an election coming up, but just a few months away in November, with a lot at stake, we need to be vigilant. And now is a time when I think you expect to see the intelligence community doing its best to try to crack down on bad actors, because if they don't, we're vulnerable again to this type of hacking.
If you look at this recent trip by President Trump from his meeting with NATO and then his conversations with Theresa May in London and then to Putin, how would you grade him? And where did he have success and where did he fail?
Well, let me start with the latter part, and then we'll get to a grade. On NATO.
Remember, we're grading on the curve here, Rob. So be kind.
So some pros and cons to the NATO meeting. Certainly, the pros are he took a strong stance against this Nord Stream 2 pipeline between Germany and Russia, which is something that the U.S. has long criticized. Yes. He called for a boost in defense spending, which is something that is much needed. At the same time, certainly an unconventional approach he took in terms of diplomacy. And I think some of the commitments that he said he got were certainly disputed by some of the NATO members. So it remains to be seen if we actually affected the long-term policy toward NATO. In terms of the UK meetings, got off to a rocky start when The Sun published an interview which the president appeared to be criticizing Theresa May, but I believe he recovered, and it seemed to be a very productive meeting, certainly a great meeting with the Queen, and as the president again emphasized, a very, very special relationship with the United Kingdom, one that is important for the United States foreign policy. And then finally, with the Putin meeting, again, as we've talked about, not exactly the best optics, although the U.S. policy doesn't appear to have changed, which is reassuring. So I would probably give it somewhere in the C-plus to B-minus range, certainly probably not the most successful policy trip. However, Dick, let me just say this. This president has an unconventional approach to diplomacy. And it's a bold approach. He is not afraid to meet directly with the principals, and I think that the American people on one level appreciate that. They didn't see that with President Barack Obama, who went around the world apologizing for actions the United States has taken, and I think that this president is the exact opposite of that, and he's going to stand up for this country.
Rob, I think I wish you were my teachers, because I aspired to get C's, so that would have been wonderful.
Well, it is a passing grade, after all.
There you go. You're listening today to Faith Radio Mornings. My guest is Rob Bluey. He's editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. When we come back, we're going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh, some of the excitement regarding his potential appointment to the Supreme Court, some of the challengers and challenges he faces, when we return with Faith Radio Mornings. We're 19 minutes past the hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in for Peter Kapsner this week. It's great to have on the line Rob Bluey, who is a friend to this ministry, a friend to our early morning Faith Radio show, and also I believe he's doing double duty today with Bill Arnold. Rob Bluey, editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. Rob, again, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dick, and I do look forward to joining Bill this afternoon.
Yes, he's a lot of fun. He always looks forward to chatting with you as well. Are you a baseball fan? Are you going to watch the All-Star game, take a break from the news cycle?
Well, certainly we are all excited in the Washington area to be hosting the All-Star game this year, and of course a very exciting night last night with the Home Run Derby, and our local hero Bryce Harper winning that. So we are baseball fans in Washington, at least this week.
I would assume the editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal should get some kind of free admission and primo seats, correct?
I wish. I do have some colleagues who are going, but yeah, I will be spending tonight probably enjoying the game with my two sons at home.
Excellent. Well, we are again honored to have you with us. Give us, I don't know that we've heard from you on the Brett Kavanaugh selection. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I have not had a chance to share my thoughts with your listeners yet, because I was not available last week. But look, the president last Monday made an outstanding choice for the Supreme Court. I mean, Brett Kavanaugh was on my colleague John Malcolm's list at the Heritage Foundation dating back to March of 2016. So he was one of the first people that we identified as a candidate for the Supreme Court. And I think that what you've seen over the course of the past week is just a reaffirmation of why he is such a brilliant legal scholar. The focus really is on moderate Democrats, Dick, and that's where I think you're going to see it. There's little doubt at this point that Republicans are going to not have the votes unless there's some major surprise. And I think that that's just a testament to Brett Kavanaugh's legal skills and ability, and the fact that he has served with distinction for the past 12 years on the second most powerful court in this country, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals.
The Supreme Court openings happen so rarely. Even those of us who follow the news cycle, fairly closely, it's still kind of refreshing and renewing to kind of hear the process. As I understand it, President Trump really has kind of broken protocol again, which is not unsurprising in the sense of really pre-printing a list of possible judges. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And this was a campaign promise that he made in early 2016 when he reached out to the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society and asked if we would publish a list of candidates. And so, as I mentioned, my colleague John Malcolm did so in March of 2016, and Kavanaugh was among the people on this list. The president has gone on to expand that list. There are currently 25 people, including Kavanaugh, who are on the most recent list, which is available on the White House website. And, you're absolutely correct that I don't think there's ever been in history a president who has been this transparent about the types of judges that he is going to appoint. And you've had some opposition from Democrats who said that they don't think that this is the appropriate way to go about it. However, if you are a voter, I can't think of a better thing that you can ask for. I mean, you know that Donald Trump is going to select one of these people. If you don't like those individuals, well, then you have a reason to vote against them. And if you are excited about those individuals, and I think that there were a lot of Christian and conservative voters out there in this last election who looked to that list and made their choice of Donald Trump, where they may not have agreed with him on other things. They saw that list and they were impressed by the credentials of those candidates that they decided to cast their vote for Trump for that reason. So certainly an unprecedented move, but as we talked about in the president's foreign trip, he is unconventional and he has had some success politically doing things like this.
There are some who are trying to connect Mr. Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, with retired Justice Alex Kaczynski. He was a Circuit Court of Appeals judge, and Kaczynski retired in December. He had 15 women, including former clerks and another judge, making sexual harassment allegations against him. What is the relationship to Brett Kavanaugh, to Judge Kaczynski? And the good news is his own law clerks and female staffers are defending him. But first of all, what's the connection between Kavanaugh and Kaczynski?
So Kavanaugh was a clerk. So as you're making your way up through the legal system, I mean, oftentimes you will clerk for other judges. Most famously, he clerked for Justice Anthony Kennedy at the Supreme Court, which was one of the reasons why, as did Neil Gorsuch, one of the reasons why I think President Trump selected him. That was a big qualification that the president himself cited. But he also clerked for Judge Kaczynski, and this was at the circuit court level, and certainly not unexpected. I mean, I'm sure Judge Kaczynski's had dozens, if not hundreds, of clerks throughout his career. And, the baffling thing about this story is there was actually no evidence that Judge Kavanaugh, when he was a clerk, knew anything about what the accusations that were made against Judge Kaczynski. And you've had other people who've clerked at around the same time come out and say this. And yet the story kind of took on a life of its own because this liberal feminist activist group decided to make a big deal about it. And I think that it's one of those things where if you are a candidate for the Supreme Court, you really need to be expecting any type of attack, as salacious as it might be and as untrue as it might be. And I think that in the case of this one, it probably actually went to help Judge Kavanaugh with some of the people who may have been on the fence. I think that when the left goes out and makes such an attack which is based on no facts whatsoever, you have people like Joe Manchin or Heidi Heitkamp or Claire McCaskill who probably are more sympathetic to the nominee in question than they would be otherwise. So a desperate attack on the left that was easily batted down. And that's why, again, Dick, I think if this is the best they have to throw at him, we're probably looking at a relatively easy confirmation. The big question for Judge Kavanaugh is the volume of documents that the Senate will have to consider, because he does have over 300 decisions that he's made as a D.C. Circuit Court judge.
Do you think a decision can be made by October 1 before the next Supreme Court session?
It certainly seems that that's the case. Right now, the Senate Judiciary Committee is talking about having hearings the week of August 20th. Judge Kavanaugh this week and in the coming weeks will be visiting senators one-on-one. I know he has four meetings today. And so if the committee does its work the week of the 20th, that means that he would probably be voted out either shortly before or right after Labor Day. And that would give the full Senate a whole month, essentially, to confirm him. And the court will begin its term in early October, and we'll have hopefully a new justice sitting on the bench at that time.
Oh, that's exciting. Rob, last question, American League or National League?
Oh, National League, all the way.
You're a good man.
As a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, I have to go with my National League. But yes, I know your Twins fans are probably rooting for the American League. So let's hope it's a good contest. That's the most we can ask for with the All-Star game. It's not like when I was growing up. It seems like every year it's either lopsided one way or the other. But we'll hope for a good game.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Bluey, editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal, our guest today. We'll be back with more in just a moment. 31 minutes past the hour. We're going to be taking a break for news in just a moment. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in for Peter Kapsner this week. Again, thank you for praying and supporting this ministry. Well, we'll have more with Dr. Rosemary Stein actually coming up. She's a member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. She's a pediatrician. We're going to be talking about a number of, well, I think and hope, interesting and helpful items. So stay with us. Bill English, consultant and founder of BibleAndBusiness.com and a regular guest on Faith Radio Mornings, was taking a look at the biblical story of the rich young ruler and through it, what Jesus is telling us to do with our money.
Matthew 19 is the story about the rich young ruler who had kept all the rules from his youth and then came back and said to Christ, well, what do I still lack? After Christ had said to, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, and he says, well, I've done all that. And Jesus says, well, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. There is a very real sense, and I'm just going to use this as a springboard as well as the Luke 16 passage, which I don't have time to get into, and the James 5 passage. There is a very real sense in which if God gives us significant wealth, it is there to be spent on his kingdom and the building up of other people.
That's Bill English, consultant and founder of BibleAndBusiness.com. You can find a number of podcasts on Bill's website, BibleAndBusiness.com, or you can go to MyFaithRadio.com and in the search bar put Bill's name, and you certainly have an opportunity to see all that he has provided over the years. We're glad to have him as a part of the Faith Radio team. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to Dr. Rosemary Stein. She's a pediatrician with the Christian Medical and Dental Association. More with Faith Radio Mornings in a moment.
A silent pulpit means a silent pew. So what's the problem? This is Jim Garlow. Just this. Pastors who refuse to speak to the issues produce an uninformed electorate. An uninformed and biblically impoverished electorate won't know what the one who created civil government has to say about how it should be run. The Bible speaks to every important issue of life, personal, family, community, city, national, or global. God established government. The Bible even uses the strong metaphor that the government will be on his, that is Jesus', shoulder. The inevitable question is always, what about separation of church and state? So where is that in the Constitution? It's not. Government, if properly, biblically ordered, can do what it is supposed to do. There's a biblical case for government, for how it should work, and we need to speak up to be well-versed, literally. Find out how at jimgarlow.com.
The walk-up music of Dr. Rosemary Stein, a pediatrician with the Christian Medical and Dental Association. It always brings a smile to my face when I hear that song. Dr. Rosemary, welcome to the show today.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I am well, and I trust you are as well.
Yes, I sure am.
Well, it's great to have you here. We have some interesting things to talk about, as always. Dr. Rosemary Stein, again, a pediatrician. Do you love salads, Rosemary?
Excuse me, do I love...
Salads? You know, lettuce salads?
Oh, generally, I love salads, but I have some reasons to be concerned, I've heard, because some salads and fast food places aren't going to be so good for our tummy.
Well, that's what I'm hearing as well, and I was just talking with Logan, our producer, one of our producers, and I actually do enjoy a McDonald's salad when I'm out and about. And there is, well, I think many of us have heard what's going on, but give us your perspective, the update on, is it cyclosporo?
Yes, that's right. It's cyclosporo, which is a parasite, and it's a parasite that can cause some diarrhea and nausea, weight loss, fever, and it's been causing havoc in several states, more than a dozen or so. And so because of that, and because one of the leading places that has led to cyclospora infections has been McDonald's, McDonald's has decided to pull their salads off of the market. So if in the past few days, and the thing about cyclospora is that it could take up to a week for you to develop the infection because the cyclospora parasite grows in your intestine. And so it's not a day or two. It might have been longer than that. So if you're having those kinds of symptoms and you might have been by a fast food restaurant, and there are other things involved in it as well. There's some like ready-made salads that have also been found to be linked to the cyclospora. But the thing about it is that it's a short illness. It can last up to a week, sometimes a couple of weeks. There's an antibiotic that you can take if the symptoms don't go away on their own, so that if you have these symptoms and they're not going away, or your children do, then you should visit a doctor.
Well, I would say this story is especially relevant for those of us in the Midwest and certainly in the Faith Radio listening area. Some of the hardest hit states include Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and South Dakota, where we have radio stations and numbers of listeners. Are there any long-term concerns related to cyclosporo?
Not that I can, that I'm aware of. It's just that you really don't feel well. You're not able to digest your foods well, and all of this hits the kids more than anybody else because they need a smaller volume of the parasite to get infected. And of course, you know, little kids, if you happen to feed a 1-year-old or an 18-month-old a little bit of the salad, they don't need an extra weight off of their bodies. They can get dehydrated very quickly. So that's a pretty big problem. When kids get dehydrated, we really need to make sure that we take care of them rather quickly.
It's 42 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Dr. Rosemary Stein. She's a pediatrician with the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Did you play sports growing up, Rosemary? Were you athletic or were your children athletes?
Well, I did play tennis, but that's a different kind of sport. My daughter played basketball, and I'll tell you something about basketball. It is worse than football sometimes, girls' basketball.
Interesting.
Yeah, that new study that talks about girls and concussions does not come as a surprise to me because girls can be rather aggressive.
Well,
I think it's that competitive side of them that makes it so that the girls can get a lot of injuries, whether it's head injuries or body injuries.
Well, that leads to Mean Girls, right? The movie. No, I'm teasing. You know, that's interesting because that really does lead into the article that we're talking about here, that girls' sports actually statistically lead to more concussions than what boys or young men are actually facing. And there are reasons for that. It seems counterintuitive. But could you explain again, besides the perhaps aggressive competitive nature, are there other reasons?
Well, the anatomy of girls versus boys is different. So the girls are let's say, nobody's going to like to hear this, but girls are more fragile, whether it's their spine, their head, that they don't protect themselves intuitively like boys do. And because of all of these different things, girls have a greater tendency to get hurt than boys do. I don't know that I've seen in my practice of 20 years that girls have more concussions than boys, because boys are very aggressive and they're stronger. But I do see quite a few girls do get concussions, but they also get a lot of leg injuries, if not more than boys. And it's because of that different nature of the girls versus boys' bodies.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more with Dr. Rosemary Stein. And thank you for joining us. It's about 45 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. 47 minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in for Peter Kapsner this week on Faith Radio Mornings. To the light, it's a Tuesday to have Dr. Rosemary Stein. She is a pediatrician with the Christian Medical and Dental Association, a regular guest on Faith Radio Mornings. And we're really talking about, just some of the injuries that girls are facing, and certainly concussions are not out of the question. How would you encourage, or what would you say to parents whose kids are wanting, whose girls primarily are wanting to play things like soccer or even hockey, things like that? How can a parent know, or what should they be aware of in regards to preparation for these kinds of activities?
Well, one of the things is to know which sports are the ones that have the highest rate of concussions and injuries. And certainly soccer, basketball, and you mentioned hockey are three of the ones that girls participate in and that do have a lot of concussions. And the second thing is to give them tips about how to keep themselves safe. So lead with your head. Make sure that you've stretched. Girls don't usually, they just go out on the field, and many times they have not stretched. It's important for them to have a good stretching technique, but also to strengthen those muscles so that they are able to perform the sport correctly. Sometimes we use accessory muscles instead of using the muscles that we should be using, and that leads to a lot of injuries too. But the main thing with girls is sometimes girls lead with their head, or they want to injure somebody, they tend to be more aggressive with their heads and their shoulders than they need to be, or their backs. And so those are the main things that I would talk to girls about. And we used to talk to Hannah about when she played basketball so that she would protect herself from injuries.
Mm-hmm. Our daughter played basketball, and it was surprisingly aggressive. And I think sometimes the coordination wasn't always there. And so they did bump into each other, especially when they were younger. Now, it is amazing to me how girls' sports have matured through the years, that now they are really quite talented and good, but certainly some of that comes into play. An article we sent you by Dr. Justin Colson, he's a best-selling author, husband, father of six. He writes, his new book is entitled 10 Things Every Parent Needs to Know, and his summary, or his one of the chapters and conversations in his book, is why parents should encourage risky play. And on the head end, that just sounds terrible. That sounds frightening. How did you respond to that article?
Oh, actually, I thought that makes some excellent points. I have a book as well. It's called Who Needs a Village? It's a mom thing. And I go over the same exact thing.
Do that you?
We have taken risk away from children. And one of the things that they need to experience to be able to live life to the fullest and be able to grow up in God's plan is to be able to understand risk and decide whether this is a good risk or not. But without the experience of taking those risks and being out there playing the games and being free to make their own decisions, kids will not have that in their experience of things so that they can grow up properly. Our children today are devoid of normal risks. They don't walk to school. Everybody sort of takes them around from one place to the other. They sit on the couch. they don't make decisions that might put them, I wouldn't say in danger, but put them in a relative sort of risk. If they don't know relative risk, they're not going to be able, as older children and older as adults, to be able to make right decisions. I see this all the time. The kids, when they're going to college, they fall apart because they cannot face the reality of that is life. That is, life is risky.
Yeah,
there's no way around it.
Well, and it's not foolish risks. It's calculated, I guess, to a degree. Correct.
Well, you know, and it's kids, so they are going to they're going to take bad risks. Let me tell you about a kid who is more than risky, and he decided he was going to cross a creek. And when he crossed the creek, he sprained his ankle. And he said, well, by golly, the next week after his sprain had healed a little bit, I'm going to try it again. He sprained his other ankle and he came back. We came back in and we said, really? How did this happen? He said, well, I wanted to do it again. I wanted to do it again and figure out what had gone wrong the first time. And instead, I fell and I twisted my ankle again. We asked him, would you do it again? He said, by golly, I want to cross that creek the right way. And, you know, sometimes it's going to take a little bit of pain. And I'm not saying go cross a creek and sprain your ankle. But that's a great example. There are kids who are risk takers. Those are the kids that are going to discover something. They're going to be out there, and they're going to be our explorers. They're going to be the ones who discover the new stock. Well, that's part of their personality. We have to let them grow. At the same time, life is risk. You know, you might take a risk that's too big. A kid might get injured. But we got to let them live.
When I was probably 8 or 9, I remember our family, and it was a big deal at the time. We went to Colorado. We went to Pikes Peak, and you know, it was a lot of fun. And I remember my mom and dad let me climb up a portion of this rocky hill area. I got to the top of the area I wanted to be, and I yelled down to my dad. I go, Dad, I'm in a fix. I can't get down. And you know, he came up and got me and brought me back down. But I look back on it now, and I thought, you know, that was gracious of them to allow me to do it in light of this article. But it was the nature of boys certainly then, and certainly now girls, equally competitive. I mean, you think of all the women's sports, the professional women's sports. They have to be taking risks to be growing in their professional development, in their in their sports development.
Well, and in life, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we didn't have all the restrictions as kids that they have today. And so we went out there in the summer, and we talk about this all the time, that in New York City, I would take the subway by myself and go into the city. And kids have experiences that are way different than our kids today. And we're, I think, because of that, better equipped to face life. And if you're climbing a tree and having to have your dad help you down probably helped you to overcome the risk of heights. And so that those are all helpful things. And you don't know the kid that you're forming. Maybe you're going to form a pilot or somebody who has to parachute out of a plane, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't give them the real experiences of life, you're not going to form that child to the greatest of what God's potential is going to give them.
Mm, that's true. I wish he would have taught me, though, not to lead with my head. That could have been helpful later in life. Dr. Rosemary Stein, thank you, as always, for being a guest. You're delightful, and we appreciate your perspective and your input. And, God bless you in your work as a pediatrician and with the Christian Medical and Dental Association.
Well, thank you, Dick. It's been a pleasure speaking with you again.
Thank you. We are 55 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment. Oh, that's great music. 56 minutes past the hour. Thank you, Logan Roush.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, no, it's good to have you here. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Peter Kapsner. Peter is on a much-deserved break. He will be back on next Monday. Looking forward to him continuing on with the show. So, Logan, take just a moment. Tell me a little, tell me an adventure that you had, talking about this whole idea of parents encouraging risky play. Did your mom and dad allow that?
Well, yeah, they were actually very gracious with the amount of free rein they gave me. We grew up across from a ski resort, Trollhagen Ski Resort, and I was skiing and snowboarding from a very young age, and I love what Rosemary said. You know, give your children a chance to reach out. But I was snowboarding with some friends, and I was never a very adventurous person. I've always been very cautious. Well, one
night— Are you being facetious?
No, I'm serious. I've always been a very cautious person. And so one night we were snowboarding out in the snowboard park, the rails, the jumps, and there was a rail that I wasn't that used to, had never really done before, but I was with some friends, and, you know, they said, "You got it. Don't worry about it. Stop being a baby." Well, it was a very icy night. I slid, I jumped, I fell, and broke my left wrist, just completely shattered it, and they thought I was fine, so they went away, and I had to get myself over to the first aid office. So I love what she said, let risks happen, but careful of peer pressure. That's where the issue really comes in.
I think there's probably more truth in that than, you know, we realize, but certainly I thought it was a very interesting conversation, and certainly kind of a blast into the past about really... And I realize it's a different day, and I realize kids are less safe in some regards in terms of the pariah around them. But risky play, not foolish play, but risky play is perhaps welcome and warranted.
I think kids get a lot of time indoors these days. Any chance they get outside to rub a little dirt in the wounds is good for me.
I don't think that's a bad thing either. Coming up after the news at the top of the hour, Grace Fox is my guest in the 7 o'clock hour, the 8 o'clock hour in Hartford. She's an author, a conference speaker. I think you'll love her story. We're going to talk about Don't Touch My Material Stuff. Stay with us.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.